Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Tuesday, for those playing along at home. It is the 21st of July, 2020. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello, hello.
Glad you're here. And back again, I have John Martellaro, ready for more. Hi, John.
Hi, good morning. Hi, Charlotte.
They let him back.
Oh, it's always fun to have John on because you never know where things are going to end up.
Could go anywhere. Stay tuned. Anything could happen in the next 15 minutes.
Especially today. So, Charlotte, I'd like to start with you because we've had yet another streaming service launch. And and so you were looking at ways that people who maybe were not in the United States, Americans who were currently not in America for one reason or another, might be able to access exactly this sort of thing.
Sure. So obviously, I do a lot of coverage of streaming services along with John here, and I'm based in the UK. And as you say, there are, you know, American users and who are still traveling, still able to travel, may wish to travel in the near future, and so on. And so I had a look into whether Peacock, which is the new streaming service from NBC Universal that you mentioned, you're referencing, worked with a VPN. I wanted to check it out.
Yeah.
And it does. Long story short, it doesn't work. So I first went to the Peacock website just to try and get a login and see what was what. And I just immediately got a message saying, it's not in your region because I'm in the UK. Okay, fair enough. You're an American rights holder. You want Americans to watch the content to only be available to American users. Fair enough. So I just thought, well, I'll just test it out just for review purposes and just because it's interesting. There'll be instances when users want to be able to use a VPN whilst also watching Peacock. So I turned on a VPN. If it makes any difference, the one I use was Proton VPN, but I think probably the principle applies across the board. And I could log in and sign up. What I couldn't do was watch anything.
Well, that's helpful.
So the minute I pressed play on something, I got a message with a rather sad-looking cat telling me something went wrong. Sorry, accessing Peacock through a VPN is restricted.
I've seen that error screen, and for those playing along at home, it is Puss in Boots from Shrek when he makes the pleading face. It's that one. Yeah.
Yes. I thought it was. I wasn't sure.
I didn't
commit.
Yes.
But it looked. That's what I thought it might be.
Yep.
Charlotte, don't you feel a little bit off put by having them have you register with an email and then telling you
you couldn't
do a VPN?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. It was obviously the VPN bit obviously doesn't bother enough to collect my email address. That's a fair point. Look, the truth is, I don't have that much. I'm to complain, given that, as I said, this is it's American rights, and you know, as copyright stands, they are perfectly entitled to make sure that only American users have access to their content. We have this with Netflix. Is one of the things John and I have discussed that we like about Apple TV Plus is that the content is universal across the board. That's not the case with pretty much any other streaming service.
It's really not.
So that's fine. But what struck me with the VPN is, one, people when they are at home, be entitled to watch Peacock content and may therefore want to continue watching it when they're not traveling and not at home, will, it appears, not be able to do so. There are also, if you want to watch shows on a device, you know, a laptop, an iPad, a phone that has a VPN running, again, you won't be able to do that. You won't be able to do the two things. You can't have the Peacock running. I was doing it on my Mac, but you know, it doesn't look like you're going to be able to do it on any device with a VPN running. Probably not going to be a problem if you've got an app on your smart TV. It's going to be a problem on something like a laptop.
Sure.
And that struck me. That's what really struck me, that, you know, people, for lots of good security and privacy reasons, want a VPN. And
sure.
If you will have to turn it off in those circumstances.
or if maybe it's a, you know, it could be as simple as like a personal decision. Like, I want to make sure all my traffic is encrypted because it's my business, not Comcast's business. And so I just only, like, I want to be the only person with access to that information. And yeah, so I can see a lot of legitimate reasons why this could be irritating for legitimate users. So I'm going to put this down as a note. When the Mac Observer all gets together in the UK, we won't be watching anything on Peacock while we're there, apparently.
So. Oh, are you guys coming to play? I'm excited.
Yeah, you know. I'm trying to be optimistic that there's a point in the future where that's a possibility, whether it happens or not. So, yeah, we're going with it. We'll see how that goes. So part of the reason, Charlotte, I'm glad that you tried this. Like you, I'm disappointed that you failed. But part of the reason that this is interesting to me is because there are lots of legitimate reasons for someone to have a VPN and still be completely within the usage of, you know, well within the terms of Peacock usage, right? So
correct, yeah, exactly. You know, yeah. That's really the point.
Yeah. So it was just expedient to have Charlotte, who's already someplace where there's not necessarily Peacock access, be able to try it out. So instead of, you know, it was a little bit easier than maybe sending Dave to London to try it, right? So, yeah.
And look, there, you know, we know that with other streaming services, you know, you can sometimes hit an endpoint that the streaming service hasn't worked out. It seemed right to me this was a more blanket thing that if it realizes on your device there is a VPN running, mm-hmm, you know, something,
then you're out of luck.
It was just says, you know, just said no. But yeah,
so yeah, and we may end up trying a few others of these to see how many of them are that particular about VPN access, because maybe there are others out there that don't care quite so much. Maybe it'll be better. So as we find that out, we will let you know. So that's one half of our TV Tuesday coverage. Before we get to part two, I would like to take a minute to tell you about our sponsor today. And our sponsor is Devon Technologies, I should say. They make an app called Devon Think. And Devon Think is a professional level information management application. So all of the data that you wade through every single day, and you know, all of it that you need to preserve, you can give it all to DevonThink and let it work it all out for you. So you can collect and organize and edit or mark up any kind of document without ever leaving the app. You can put live web pages in like Google Docs and have them just refresh dynamically. You can have local files. You can put things in groups. You can tag them. You can create smart rules, kind of like smart playlists in iTunes. You can add reminders to things. You can build automations, even if you're not a programmer. It's very easy. I've done a couple of them. You can build automations that take the boring parts of your workflow that your computer's supposed to be able to handle for you, all those boring, repetitive tasks. And you can let DevonThink handle all of that for you. And just for my listeners, you can get a 10% discount off a shiny new DevonThink license. Or if you have a license, you can get 10% off the upgrade price at devontechnologies.com/TDO. That's devontechnologies.com/TDO. 10% off a full version or an upgrade. And we'd like to thank Devon Technologies for sponsoring the show today. Now, John, since we talked about Peacock being a thing that Charlotte can't watch, I happen to know that you actually have watched it and spent a little time within the app.
I have. And listeners and readers know that in the past, as we led up to the launch on July 15th, I was a bit negative about Peacock and its ability to compete against the other services.
We kind of all were.
Yeah, and the two reasons for that. One was there was lots of legacy content that we've all seen, mm-hmm, been there, done that. And there was a base level that was free and with commercials. And that left a bad taste in my mouth, although there is a level for $9.99 a month that has no ads.
Uh-huh.
And recently we found out that NBC Universal was keeping the ad content very lightly loaded, 5 minutes or less per hour, mm-hmm. or per 42-minute show. So that buoyed my hopes. And then when I launched the app, I registered and launched it on my Apple TV 4K, I was pleased to see the interface was clean, well laid out. The video stream was good. And then I started exploring the content, and it's as advertised. You know, it's the stuff that they're pitching on the top level of the stuff we know and love. And many of us have seen and been there and done that, like 30 Rock and sure. Psych and Parks and Recreation and Downton Abbey and Saturday Night Live and Will and Grace and so on, and mixed in with some other content.
We should say, to be, although John's entirely right, it was meant to have Olympics coverage. It was meant to have.
Right.
There was some other content that got held up.
That like was some supposed of the to be the signature series.
Yeah, when there was when there was going to be Olympics, it was going to be the Olympics. They're going to be on Peacock, and you can watch everything real time, right? So, they're in Japan, and so for people in the U.S., like when things are happening in the middle, you know, for us it's the middle of the night, but if you want to get up in the middle of the night and watch gymnastics or track or, you know, whatever it is, you can totally do that. So that was going to be a big thing. But John, you
the first did- thing I noticed the first thing I yeah. noticed when I was perusing the interface was a thing called Do Not Sell My Info. If you go to the user page, there's the terms of service. And then there's a note that says, do not sell my info. Not only is it free because there's ads, but it's free because apparently NBC Universal is going to sell to anybody who wants it information about what you watch along with your email address.
Well, isn't that fun?
And you need to go to NBCUniversal.com, sort of like,
and opt out.
Sell my info and opt out. You can't opt out within the app, at least on my Apple TV. You have to go to the website, which further entrenches you and gives away information about you and who you are.
Well, another
To turn that off.
Yes. Another interesting thing about the terms, though, that I wanted to point out is, yes, that is not great. That the part of the terms is like, we're just going to take your information, do whatever we want with it. So, Charlotte, mm-hmm. I look forward to seeing how your inbox changes. But also, in the middle of the Peacock terms of service, there's a recipe for chocolate cake.
I saw that. I didn't see it the first time, but I heard about it.
Yeah, because I went in the towers and said, did you know there's cake in the middle of the Peacock terms? Yeah, because I was joking that Charlotte had inadvertently agreed to cake.
Well, this is a symptom of NBC's approach to this app. We thought it was going to be dry and old stuff, and it was going to be reminiscent of the NBC app that we all grew to hate on our Apple TVs, which was poorly executed, and
I still hate it.
Dropouts,
yeah,
and the difficult to use, and so we kind of had a bad taste in our mouth that this was going to be like a suitsy kind of dry, ugly, irritating experience. And it turns out that they've done a pretty good job and brought some humor and some reasonable degree of execution. I watched a bit of Suits, mm-hmm. season 9, and the video feed is good and solid and. On the whole, I think they've executed it well. And, you know, as things go, whenever anything's free, there is always a gotcha.
Oh, sure.
And so this can be these things can be expected.
Well, the other thing that I thought was interesting was sort of their approach. Like, you know, one thing we talked about a lot with TV Plus before it debuted was that they had no new content. Or no library content, no catalog stuff. And the bulk of what Peacock has right now is catalog stuff. And they're kind of getting hit for that, too. And I'm like, okay, so pick one. Like, you can't complain when people don't have it and then complain when they do.
Very sparse new originals. I call them Peacock Originals. And there's Brave New World, which Dave Hamilton says he's watched and liked. And there's something called The Capture. Mm-hmm. But there's very few and far between.
And well, one thing they did.
Feature films are things that we've seen too. You know, the feature films like Bourne Identity and the Bourne series and Jurassic Park, we've all seen.
Yeah.
But for people who want to fire something up on a weekend for their kids and they haven't seen Jurassic Park yet, it could be useful.
Yeah.
I also think, right, as you say, there is a balance between the the catalog content, the library of content, and also the originals. And let's be honest, Netflix win because it has the best combination of both.
Yes.
You can.
Right.
You can rewatch The Big Bang Theory and The Fresh Prince of Bel Air, or you can. Actually, they've taken The Big Bang Theory off it for you guys in the US, haven't they?
Yeah, because it's a CBS show, so it's on CBS All Access here.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, here in the UK, you can still watch it. there's loads of catalog content you can get through on Netflix, plus they've got the big name originals, and that's why it's winning. And at the moment, Apple TV Plus is doing well on the originals front, and Peacock I think will do well on the catalog front because people will go, oh, do you know what, it's free, I am going to watch Will and Grace for an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I recommend it. If you've got Apple TV Plus and Netflix and maybe Amazon, it's an easy addition. It's not right. Like HBO Max where you're going to be soaked for $15 a month and that's all you can do.
Yeah.
It's a free, if you don't mind your information, your email address and what you watch being sold, and you want a free app to thumb through when you can't find something on Apple TV Plus or Netflix, I'd say go ahead and install it. Until we find out anything really, really nasty happening, which I don't think is yet. And take a look at it and have some fun with it.
Exactly. There's plenty of stuff on there that, you know, and you know, Disney Plus is doing well because it has the mix of legacy and original stuff.
Yeah, old and new.
And no one's going, oh, I don't want Disney Plus because I've already seen Star Wars, right?
Right.
And they're not. And
it's actually the opposite of that. That's why I have Disney
Plus.
Right,
and I suspect the same may be true with things like Jurassic Park.
Sure.
So if Peacock can keep going long enough that and keep people on for long enough that they, by the time the originals come, and they may want to upgrade their service and pay. Because am I right, John? There's a tiered, isn't it, in terms of what you can access as well?
Yeah, there's tier two, which you could upgrade. It's an in-app purchase, so you can go to the person icon on the upper right side and go to your account, and there's a right in your face at the very top is the option to in-app purchase for $4.99, which gets you more content. Right. I don't have a list of what the more content is. And then for $9.99 a month as an in-app purchase, you can eliminate ads completely.
Right, exactly. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I think $4.99 plus ads is pushing its luck a bit, but
I think Hulu has a similar pricing model. Like, you can pay less and still have some ads, or you can pay more and have zero ads.
Right. But I suspect by the time there's originals that people go, oh, that's really what I want, and I've already got a Peacock account, the freemium thing has already got you. And so...
The first thing I think is we should talk about disposable email addresses, because you can always use something throwaway to sign up if you wanted to. But
sure.
And I'm sure we have a tip about that at the Mac Observer, so I'll make sure there's a link to it in the show notes. Also, the thing that I know that they've done at over at Peacock is they've sort of done this mix of old and new. Where you can watch all the episodes of Psych, right? They're all there and it's fine and you can see the whole series and whatever. But they also did another movie. They did one movie a couple of years ago around Christmas time. And then they have a new movie where they got everybody together and they shot a new sort of one-off. And that's like one of the big things that is headlining Peacock as original content is this new movie. And there was... And additionally, there was a dust up about the 30 Rock thing that they put together, because it was basically seen as an advertisement for Peacock. So 30 Rock all got together and did this sort of special episode. And if you don't know anything about it, it may be because you live in a part of the country where the NBC affiliate went, I'm not going to advertise a thing that's going to take people away from my show, my channel. So I'm not showing the thing that you want me to show. So there was a whole thing about the 30 Rock thing, because it was sort of viewed as an infomercial more than anything. And there were a bunch of places where it didn't even air, including where I live. So there's some interesting stuff going on there, I think. And we'll have to see how that sorts out, you know, over time. So We'll find
out. Thing I noticed, Kelly, was one final note. I noticed there's a thing called NBC News Now from 1 p.m. to 8 p.m. daily. And it's like 8 hours of running news feed up to date what's happening, sort of like CNN, kind of.
That sounds terrifying.
And so if you're just at a loss to figure out where to go to get the current news, you can go to Peacock and go to NBC News Now and get caught up.
Like, I haven't seen that. I'm glad that there's another avenue for information, but at the same time, when you put the phrase 8 hours of news in the middle, it feels like punishment. I've been bad, well, and you're sentencing
you
me.
You anytime, watch for a little while, and then you get into repeat mode, and you're out.
Okay, that might not be so bad then. All right, anyway, now I got to shake that off. 8 hours of news. Now, yeah. John's going to call me in the night, and that's going to be the thing he does to freak me out. Ooh, 8 hours of news. Anyway. Yeah, because I don't already have a hard enough time sleeping. Anyway, that's going to do it for us today. Thank you both so much for being here. I love when we can get the Dream Team together for TV Tuesday. Charlotte, thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks so much.
John, as always, it's a pleasure.
Yo.
Okay.
it's a there, joke.
There you have it. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. You can always get a hold of us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, and by comments in the show notes. I will talk to you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.